Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Leverett Ball Show. And on this episode, we're actually joined by recurring guest Kate Ekman. Kate, this is your second time on the podcast. You also came on another one I did, the Levin Marcus Show. You know, obviously great to catch up as always. But what have you been up to lately?
Yeah, I've been up to a lot. I think a lot of people right now are a little overbooked, a little overstretched, in need of a little TLC, especially on the inside. And I've been, you know, still talking about and promoting my book, The Full Spirit Workout, which people are loving because I'm giving you really, you know, tangible practices and exercises for your inner muscles to combat the emotional gravity, like stress, fear, anxiety, self-doubt, all the things that weigh us down, and people sometimes feel out of control and dealing with it. And so I work with a lot of high achieving individuals, professional athletes, CEOs that need no help with their jobs. They're clearly quite skilled at what they're doing, but they do need help with all of those less tangible roadblocks that I mentioned. And so for me, I'm really passionate about doing that work, both one-on-one with clients and sessions, also working as a speaker and leading workshops and retreats and things like that, but also doing it in the corporate space. And I'm working for a company right now, Verb Technology, and we've just launched a massive social shopping, live stream shopping platform called Market.live. It's super cool. Think of it as entertaining talk show programming that is shoppable, which is really exciting, cutting edge. It's a $600 billion business in China right now. So the US is a little behind, but it has great potential. So for me, it's just, I've been up to having really enlightening conversations with people and really trying to get people out of their comfort zones and building strong mental, emotional, spiritual muscles so that they become the person who can actually achieve their goals.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're someone who's done a lot of different things, from working in the business world to writing a book to, you know, obviously modeling and TV and your former Division I athlete. And you've been able to reinvent yourself multiple times, which is really hard because anytime you're really good at something, it becomes your life and your identity. You know, there are tons of, you know, retired athletes who, you know, whether they play in college and then get a job or play pro for a while and have to move on from their sport, it's so hard for them to let go, you know, but reinventing yourself is important because you're always going to have to. So how have you been able to make those transitions from, you know, D1 athlete to TV, to modeling, to writing books, to doing stuff in business? And also, you know, how have you avoided some of the boxes that people put you in? Because, you know, if you're an athlete, people think that's all you can do. And, you know, if you're on TV or, you know, a model, people assume that you just got there because of your appearance. But then, you know, you've also been able to, you know, write a book and overcome some of the stereotypes that women deal with in the workplace. So, and, you know, have success in business. So how have you, you know, reinvented yourself so many different times?
Thank you for calling all of that out. Thank you. I think our culture puts especially women into a box. And I think both men and women are given scripts when we're born. So then we're infants, not men and women, but we're given these scripts. And the woman's script says something along the lines of, be beautiful, get married, have kids. The man, it's hustle, grind, make a lot of money, get married, have kids. And men especially, don't you dare talk about your emotions and keep all of that in. And with women, just be a nice girl and be quiet and just, can't you just look nice? And so I just never bought into that. And even as a child, I was always so curious and was always asking why? Why is that true? And so for me, it's, my life has been about really disrupting the status quo and questioning certain things, and then not subscribing to societal standards that I don't believe in. I'm not going to get married just to get married. I'm not going to follow a straight, narrow path just because that's what people do. I'm putting quotation marks for people who can't see me. So I think the key to reinvention is being open, open-minded, open-hearted, refusing to settle, refusing to subscribe to these societal standards that you may or may not believe in, and getting clear on what you do believe in, and getting super clear on who you are and what you really want. And as a writer, I'm putting really in italics, because I think people choose what they want based on what society says you should be doing based on gender roles, based on what mom and dad want for you, based on what mom and dad did, based on what the neighbors are doing, what the people are doing on social media. So the key to reinvention is really taking that quiet time, sitting alone in a room by yourself with all the distractions turned off, which sounds horrifying to a lot of people, but this is a practice that will change your life because you get to listen to spirit, to your wisdom, to something that is not your ego that's beating you up and telling you where you don't add up and what you should be doing and what you can't do and why. And so for me, I never wanted to be bored or stagnant. I think we're all, if we're lucky, constantly growing and evolving. And when you grow and evolve, you outgrow people, you outgrow jobs and careers, you outgrow situations, professional athletes. The NFL, for instance, will outgrow you. You're out and you're 30 years old, you're a dinosaur, or there's so many injuries because it's such a violent sport and you're putting your body through hell. So I think the more open-minded that we can be and the more practiced at listening we can become at listening to that voice, but also refusing to let people put you in a box. And that again comes from knowing who you truly are. And I used to be really upset when I would feel judged or people would, you know, place me somewhere and or just like, oh, I even had a woman when I was promoting my book last year say to me live on television, kind of caught me off guard, said, well, you're young and beautiful. You can get anything you want. And I thought, wow, and that's a generalization and an assumption. And maybe that's true for some people. However, you know, I said, thank you very much for complimenting my parents' genetics. And what I have found to be true for myself is that many times, yes, I certainly looked the parts, but was crumbling on the inside in denial or in self-doubt, in anxiety, in fear, like many people. And you see that with the epidemic of suicide, the people who literally have it all, looks, money, fame, all of it, choose to end their lives. And that's what prompted me to write the book, Losing Two Loved Ones to Suicide. So I really invite people to take some time to quiet their minds and really start getting clear on who they are and what they want. And then what you will find is when you do this inner work, the people, opportunities, experiences naturally come to you. You are a magnet for them. And then you don't have to try so hard. The opportunities will find you. And then just like what happened to me about a year ago, meeting the CEO that I now work with, said yes to an opportunity, was on a TV show. He was sitting next to me as a fellow judge. And the rest is history. Never intended to leave New York City or make this career change. So be open to some magic and some mystery and opportunity right around the corner.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I think you made a bunch of points there that are very relatable and definitely refusing to let people put you in boxes. And, you know, you've done, like I said earlier, you've done a lot of different things, including TV. But one thing that's tough for a lot of people on TV is, you know, there are people who you'll never meet who just see the TV version of you, you know, and the version of you in a suit. And but then there are people who know you in your day-to-day life or know you from years before. And so many people I've talked to who say that, who work in TV, have said that like people they know personally think that them being on TV is the funniest thing in the world. They just can't handle it. And so because those people view you as a human being, they don't view you the way the rest of your audience does. And it's kind of funny, like my high school is featuring me as their like whatever successful alumni in their alumni magazine. They send to all of their, you know, alumni and donors and different people. And it's funny because in high school, I was kind of viewed as a fuck up, you know, like my high school I went to, Brewster Academy, was a boarding school. And, you know, I was sent there because, you know, my mother is battling mental illness and she'd been abusing me, a family therapist said I shouldn't live with my parents anymore. When I got to boarding school, I was a very confused kid and probably the last person they thought that someday the school would write about in a magazine that features successful alumni. So it's funny because like people who I went to high school with view me that way. People who don't know anything about me, who've seen me on TV, view me as the guy in the suit. But the reality is they're all a part of the puzzle, you know, and it's extremely complex. And I think it's ignorant to say that another person is a complex person. Human beings are complex. You know, and no one's an enigma. If you can't understand them, that's because of your own ignorance. But oftentimes, you know, people in society cast you in roles, and unfortunately, some people buy into those roles.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for what you experienced as a child. And sadly, I think that's all too common. And people have gone through things that they haven't even dared to speak about yet. So I do encourage you to speak out, even in private, to a counselor, therapist, coach, whomever you deem fit, or certainly a trusted loved one, because we need to get those stories and that trauma out of the body so that we can truly exercise our full potential and rise to that. And you deserve that. And I think we have to redefine success, because what is success? The person who's, oh, they've had this perfect, whatever that is, childhood and hasn't been through trauma or wasn't the fuck up in high school or college or whatever. I think true success is being true to who you are. And first of all, you have to know who you are, but just showing up as you authentically need to be. And what an example to show people, you know, I came from this dark place. I went through this high school. I was not the straight A student. And now I'm in this public space and really excelling in my career as a TV reporter or whatever that you're doing. And that's a story. I mean, I have a colleague out here who had one of the most horrific childhoods that I've ever heard. When he shared his story with me, I was sobbing uncontrollably. And this person is now a billionaire and such a success. He's in his 50s, has this huge hedge fund, is a kind man. And that's really a testament to you can be, do, or have whatever you decide is important enough or whatever you deem worthy. But first, you have to believe it for yourself. And maybe some of his success came from, I'm going to show my dad, you know what I mean, that I'm not a worthless POS and look at me now. But then it's like, is being a billionaire the success? If you maybe you have the billionaire and you still are you know, enraged every day because of unresolved childhood trauma. So I think we all need to give ourselves a little bit of a break, let ourselves off the hook, give ourselves a hug, give ourselves a high five, and know that at any moment of every day, you can really choose to be something else and redefine yourself and redefine success, all of it. And it is an opportunity. It does take some work. But I even just say to you, I'm feeling called to say to you, don't let anyone put you in a box, or who cares what people say. And I know that's easier said than done. That's the beauty about getting older. Each day, each year, you really give less and less, you know what, because it's just, you've been through stuff and you're like, and I'm still going and no one's holding me down. And that's why I wrote my book too, to give people the tools and the exercises to really get fit and strong on the inside.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know, also, you know, when it comes to high achievers, you know, I've talked to different psychologists who talk about how most, you know, quote unquote high achievers, whether it's, you know, professional athletes or, you know, billionaire businessmen or movie stars or people like that, or, you know, people who have accomplished things that most of society consider completely unrealistic. Most of those people had traumatic childhoods or overcame some type of horrible adversity. So it's actually quite prevalent. It's also for high achievers, mental health issues are quite prevalent, you know, and oftentimes the people who seem the most polished on the surface struggle the most internally. And that's something that I think, you know, people aren't aware of. You know, people who grew up wanting to be a professional athlete and didn't make it, they see people play pro sports and they view them as these action figures. And, you know, I think that's part of why it's so powerful when people use their platform to talk about things they've been through. You know, successful people use their platform to talk about things they've been through. The one thing I will admit is I've been very open about talking about some of my issues, you know, personal issues and worst times on my various platforms. But I also realize now it's not for everyone. And, you know, maybe I should be less judgmental of other people who want to be more private, because everyone is on their own path.
Everyone's on their own journey, certainly. I think what's important to remember is that it's whatever feels right for you. And when it's time for you to talk and share your story and your journey and whatever parts of that you want to share, you'll know. Just knowing though how powerful it is to speak your truth and live your truth and embody your truth. So you don't have to play all these characters or roles. It's just, you're one and the same, you know, on camera, off camera, in real life, in your sweats, on the internet, all done up. And so you know, I do just encourage people though to, even for yourself, start to get really, really clear about what's going on for you at your core and address any issues that you're having at the core. And that's what I do enjoy working with very powerful people with, is it's really vulnerability and leading with more courage, emotional courage and vulnerability, because that is the true strength. That doesn't mean you're going to sit up in the boardroom and cry and talk about how daddy didn't love you. That's not what I'm talking about. This is about really stretching and flexing those emotional muscles and having the courage to say what you mean what you say it with kindness. You know, my mentor said to me, "The truth said without kindness is violence." And I will never forget that, because I think sometimes, well, I'm just being real, I'm being authentic. And I'm like, you're being a jerk and you're being abusive, and it's, your communication is violent. And so that's, someone says something to me who has not worked through some of their stuff. So I think whoever is hearing this right now, and even just you and I, it's so important to spend some time working through this stuff and a little more quiet time rather than just bulldozing through it, because, you know, the body keeps score, and at some point you're going to have the breakdown, and, or hopefully you don't, it's not a physical combustion or something that happens, but I'm just taking some baby steps here to, you know, talk about how you're feeling.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And I think also, you know, I think society has kind of evolved in that way, as far as, you know, being open, and, you know, more and more people are using their platform to talk about those things. I think it's kind of a cultural shift. I think it's also, you know, that type of thing is considered more socially acceptable on, you know, podcasts and, you know, social media than maybe some of these traditional media outlets. And so there are some people who are kind of clinging to their old ways. But I think it's good that, you know, people are having more of a voice these days. But you know, also, what are some of your big plans moving forward? Obviously you've done a lot of different things, but you know, are you kind of taking things day by day, or do you have any you know, big picture goals you're working on right now?
Right now I'm really excited to be working on a platform called Market.live, and it's a sexier, cooler, more modern QVC home shopping. So think of it as entertaining talk show that is shoppable. And so you can get on and talk about topics like this and have a sponsor, for instance, and let's say Nike is the sponsor, and they can, viewers, listeners can shop their favorite products while they're listening to a conversation like this. Or if you have a brand or business or service and you want to connect with your audience, both fans and old and new alike, and they're able to ask you questions in real time. So it's super interactive. It's all about connection and authenticity rather than the mindless scrolling, the overwhelm that is social media and the algorithms and all that crap. This is a way to really do what we're doing now, ask questions here in real time while people get introduced to some life-changing products or services. So that's what I'm really passionate about, because it is about connection. This is a $600 billion business in China right now. So it's fun to be on the forefront of it here in the United States. And I absolutely love connecting with people like yourself and hearing about their brand story. Because yeah, the products are incredible. And I love products more than anybody. But what's really fun for me is hearing how and why they even created this certain product and hearing people's backstory. This woman yesterday was, she's designs women's hats, and her grandmother was the milliner for Bergdorf Goodman and Balenciaga, you know, and she still has her grandmother's, the hat that she, like the hat, whatever it's called. I'm losing the word right now because I'm tired, but that she creates these hats on. I mean, it's so fascinating to hear people's backstories, or even for me, why I wrote my book. It's not just, oh, because I went to journalism school and I write, it's, I lost two loved ones to suicide. And so it was my mission and my purpose. And I had a very strong why. So for me, it's getting people to really, you know, bring out their brand, whatever they've created, whether it's a product or service or business, to talk about it. And people's stories are fascinating. And a lot of it, like you said, came from tragedy or came from history or came from a problem they were seeing in the world, and they wanted to solve it. And so that's really inspiring to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, it, like you said, I think it's interesting, you know, just getting to know people on beyond what you see on the surface, because everyone is very different. than what you'd expect probably if, again, like I said, just what you see on the surface. But, you know, before we wrap things up, if, you know, people want to, you know, keep up with you, you know, what are your social media handles or what's the best way for anyone listening to this podcast to, you know, keep up with what you're doing?
Sure. I'm Kate Ekman, KateEckman on social. I am at KateEckman.tv, and you can check out my book at thefullspiritworkout.com.
All righty. Yeah, definitely recommend everyone check out your book. You know, Kate sent me a copy a while back. I definitely enjoyed reading it. And yeah, so everyone definitely recommend you get a copy yourself and give Kate a follow on social media. But once again, thank you to Kate Ekman for joining us.